sticks and stones may break my bones, but... Y'all, we're not supposed to lie in church. Right? Like, we know the phrase, and yet we know it's not true. Right? Words hurt. They carry immense power. They can tear us down. Or they can build us up. But what we know about words is that sometimes they stick with us, right? So the negative words, unfortunately, positive words, I found it's like we've got Crisco on our bodies. Somebody says something nice to us, we hear it, and it just kind of rolls off. But if somebody says something mean to us, something negative to us, man, it's like it's got Velcro on it. It's hard to pull off. And my guess is if you hear 10 positive things in one day, when you drive home at night, if you heard one negative thing, you're repeating that over and over in your head. Words can be powerful. They can tear us down or they can build us up. And so it's important for us to make sure that we are clinging to positive words and words from God. And so we've got this card here that we're going to refer to throughout the next 3 weeks. So I invite you to keep this card. And it's got two passages on it. We've read one of them. The other one comes from Ephesians. So it's the Apostle Paul writing a letter to the church at Ephesus. And he had been there about 2 years building that church up, working with them. And what he knew was that there was some division in the church. And there was some bickering and some arguing. And so he wrote this letter to them. And he's got some wisdom for them in there. And so we're going to read this in a second. But what I'd encourage you to do is take this card this week and put it somewhere where you can kind of start learning some of these scripture verses. And it might be on the dashboard of your car. It might be on your computer at work. For some of us, we just need to put it right on the front screen of our phone, right? Maybe have to flip over it every time we open our phone. So we're gonna try to memorize some of these words. So we're going to refer back to this card a couple times today. So would you all read with me the passage from Ephesians? Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that the words may give grace to those who hear. We can either tear down or we can build up. Not only does the Apostle Paul talk about this, but in the book of James, it talks about it. James is in the New Testament, but we consider this kind of wisdom literature. Rather than it just being a letter, it's kind of a collection of different wise sayings that we can connect with, that if we kind of let them meditate in our hearts, it changes our actions and how we live in the world. So we're going to look at the book of James today, and in it he talks about kind of tearing down or building up. I want to read these verses again from the New Revised Standard Version. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue. Right? So a modern translation would be nobody can tame the tongue and the thumbs. Right? We got to make it 21st century, right? So taming our tongue, taming our fingers as we type. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. We curse those who are made in the likeness of God? Wow. A reminder that each person is created in the image of God, and yet sometimes we curse them. From the same mouth come blessings and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Words can damage, they can tear down, or they can build up. And so the Apostle Paul talks about, or James, and James starts talking about taming the tongue. And as we think about that today, James says nobody can tame the tongue. So we could either just read that and go, all right, we don't have to work on it. Or we can say, what are the steps to tame the tongue? What are some steps that you and I might take, some questions we might ask before we say something to someone or something about someone? So we'll go through some questions and think how we might take these questions and use them in our daily life. But as we start talking about these questions, making sure that we are taming our tongue, that we aren't tearing others down, I want us to try something. When we talk about these things, you're going to be tempted to think of somebody in your family that needs to hear this, right? You're going to think of one of your coworkers who needs to hear this. You're going to think of somebody maybe on the national level that needs to hear this. But here's the challenge, right? We can't control other people's actions, but what we do starts with us, with our heads, with our hearts. And so what we might do today is figure out how do we take this and live into it so that we can change and influence our friends and our family, our coworkers, our community, and maybe even the national level. So let's ask these questions this morning. And the first one is this: does this affirm the person as a child of God? What a great question to make sure we're not tearing somebody down before we speak to them or about them. Does this affirm the person as a child of God? Right? James reminds us that people are made in the likeness of God. Coming from Genesis chapter 1, people are made in God's image. So we've got to ask ourselves this question: does this affirm that this person is created in the image of God? I love the passage from the Sermon on the Mount with Matthew chapter 5. And Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Wow, those are powerful words. Remember, Christ is speaking to his followers and he's saying, hey, all these people that you're angry with or frustrated at, love them and pray for them. Because when we love them and when we pray for them, we don't view them as an enemy anymore, but we instead view them as a child of God. And when we view them as a child of God, it's really hard to start cursing them. And so we might start viewing people a little differently if we start loving them and affirming them as children of God. The next question to ask before you speak to someone or about someone is there ill intent? Right from Ephesians chapter 4, where it says, don't let any evil talk come out of your mouth. Is there ill intent? Am I going to speak and say something that's going to cause harm to somebody? We know that, unfortunately, harm is caused many times on the schoolyard, right? Think about your elementary school, middle school years, and I think it's just gotten worse since some of us were there. But we know that bullying and cyberbullying is often around words. And when somebody is bullied, they are 2 times more likely to attempt suicide. Words have power. They bring life or they bring death. And so if you are a parent in here or a grandparent or somebody who has the opportunity to shepherd children, what we have to do is be aware. What words are coming from our children? What words are being typed from our children? It's up to us to be aware of that, making sure that nothing evil is going out. And we've also got to be on guard to make sure that these words aren't hurting our children, that we're aware of what is coming in and at them so that they don't feel bullied, right? We've got this responsibility to make sure that these words of ill intent aren't harming our children or other children. But we've also got to take it a step further, right? We have to make sure that as adults that we aren't speaking with ill intent. When we're with a group of people, it's easy to just kind of make a jab at somebody else, right? We've got to make sure that we don't do that. We've got to make sure that we are providing a good witness to our children. Because when our children look up, what they see is Kanye West and Taylor Swift exchanging nasty words, right? Or they look at politicians exchanging nasty words. So God forbid they look up at us and see us exchanging nasty words with one another. Let's not let our words have any ill intent. And here's, I think, something that's maybe even a little harder to ask. How will the other person hear it? How will they receive it? Right? It's an important question to ask. Sometimes there's this big debate on should we be politically correct or not politically correct, and people go back and forth on that. But within the church, we have to ask ourselves, are these words of grace? Are these the words that Christ wants me to say? Because it's not about being politically correct or not politically correct, but it's asking, how will the other person receive this? Are they going to receive this with grace and love? There were some, and I think church folks struggle with this, and there's a video that was put out on the internet. If you're following along in your YouVersion Bible app, I hope you are, and kind of taking these notes, and you can refer back to them throughout the week. And there's even a link to this video, and it was done by the North Carolina Annual Conference in the United Methodist Church. And it's this video of male pastors reading quotes that were said to female pastors. I don't know if any of you saw this, but so it's male pastors reading words that were said to female pastors. And as I watched this video, what I was thinking was, these are church folks, right? It's not ill will being spoken kind of outside the walls of the church, but it's inside the church. And if these people had just stopped to ask the question, how will the other person receive it? My guess is they wouldn't have said these following comments. So these are words spoken to female pastors. I can't concentrate on your sermon because you're so pretty. You do a really good job, but I think scripture is more meaningful if read with a male voice. During communion, it's hard for me to concentrate when you say, this is my body given for you. I think about your body, not Jesus's body. If these church folks had just paused and said, how will my pastor receive this? They wouldn't have said those words. But what happened when each of those cases, and those were just the ones I could read in church, by the way, which is both funny and horribly sad, right? What we have to say is, how will the other person receive this? And so it's extremely important for each of us when we talk to somebody of a different sex, somebody of a different race, somebody of a different sexual orientation, somebody of a different religion, we have to ask the question, how will the other person receive what I'm saying? And if we just spend 5 seconds thinking about it, then we make sure that we are speaking with grace and with truth. James says this as well. It says, it only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it, smoke right from the pit of hell. James refers to words being a spark that cause devastating fires. So my question to you is, are you a spark where negative things are coming and bad fires are spewing from you? Or are you tender? Are you close enough to these negative words and that when they pop over to you, then all of a sudden you combust as well and you spread the fire? Or are you a firefighter? Are you going to notice the fire that is spreading and then do something about it to ensure that the fire doesn't spread any further? My hope is that each of us can be a firefighter. So I want us to read these words again from Ephesians. Let's read them to make sure that we don't let evil talk come out, but instead build up. Let's read it together. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. So let's focus on building others up by offering words of grace. That's what this passage calls us to, offering words of grace. And what I've noticed in my short time at this church is that this is a church that truly values grace. It's a part of who we are. But grace is a part of the DNA of this church. It's a part of the Wesleyan movement. But it's more importantly, all throughout the scriptures, because grace is really part of the DNA of who God is. So if we can practice grace, we make sure that we have words that build others up, that we offer grace with those words. Some of you have the spiritual gift of encouragement, and you've taken the spiritual gifts discovery. If you have the gift of encouragement, would you raise your hand if you're bold enough? We got a couple. And we got some over there. All right. So as your spiritual gift inventories come in, after you take them online, I get an email. And what I discover is that I see the people with a top gift of encouragement, and I go, oh yeah, of course they've got the gift of encouragement. That makes sense, right? Y'all were some of the first people to encourage me and my family when we got here. And what I witness is in your relationships with other people, you are continually speaking words of encouragement. For some of us, that's a spiritual gift that God has given us. And for others of us, we need to take a little step and go, okay, what can I do to help build others up and to offer encouragement? So we build others up by offering grace. And I want us this week to think about the act of speech as Christian practice. The act of speech is a Christian practice. When we think about Christian practices and how we live out our faith, we often think about reading scripture, we think about praying, we think about serving, we think about giving. But I want us to think about the act of speech being a Christian practice. God is calling each and every one of us, not just to avoid evil coming out of our mouths, but to build others up through words of grace. This is our Christian practice. This is why we need to carry the card with us and put it somewhere where we can see it. And when we see this card, we need to think, who can I affirm? Who can I build up? Who can I offer grace to? Because what we see is that there is a world on fire with negative words. We see negative words spreading over and over again, and we've got to do something about it. Here's a quote that I found from the Center for Action and Contemplation. It's Father Richard Rohr, and he's one of my favorite writers. And on their website, they've got 8 core principles. And I think this core principle really speaks into how we direct and live into these words. It says, the best criticism of the bad is the practice of the better. Oppositional energy only creates more of the same. I want to read that again. The best criticism of the bad is the practice of the better. Oppositional energy only creates more of the same. When we witness, when we hear negative words being typed or spoken, we have to double down. We have to double down on words of grace. We have to double down on acts of service. We have to rise above and see what God is calling us to do and say. We have an important responsibility in this world. Words are powerful. They are tearing others down all around us, but Christ has called us to speak these words of grace to help build others up. So I'm going to close with Psalm 19, and I want us to close together in this prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So as the